is good for you to take away from this retreat. I have talked about the subject in Vrindavan and also during the time of Nityananda Trayodasi. It is your thoughts shape your future. What you think now will describe how healthy you are tomorrow, who you meet the day after tomorrow, what opportunities show up in your life. A lot of that is dependent on the mental climate that you build. Thank you, actually. So yes, so we will talk about this. I will make an exercise with you, and towards the end of the program, I will ask you to build pairs of two and discuss what you actually remember from the presentations which were given to you. Please, you will have to dig a little bit and come into your own psychological underworld and find there the beautiful being that is you and who remembers and so on. So, yes, let us start. I was picking a verse today which is very much in my mind. It is one of the last verses in the ninth canto before Shukadev Goswami goes and describes the tenth canto and the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. Can someone please help me with these glasses? I can't see this. What does it say? 9?
24,
65. Very good, very good. You can just get a little bit the background before we do the verse. Shukadev Goswami has by now talked for a long time. He has talked for 9 cantos. Whatever he talked was in preparation finally answer Parikshit's question, what should a person think about who is at the brink? Brink means the threshold, just before entering death. No? And what is the supreme benefit for humanity? So he has talked for 9 cantos to prepare his Parikshit Maharaj and all of us for what he will now speak about. He will talk about the prime object of thinking is Krishna, and he describes Krishna in a very amazing verse. You will like that very, very much. And as we will read Prabhupada's purport, you will be very, very surprised what he says. So Shukadev Goswami prepares Parikshit now and all of us for a festival for the eyes that should be always meditated about. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jai Jai Jada Tamasha Va Kunyavi Adi Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Chari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Chari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Rasa Madhava Kunya Vihane Jaya Rasa Madhava Kunya Vihari can think of your mind as vrittis or waves on the river of thought. Endlessly, this river of thought has gone on, and it has bound you to your material lives, even here in Krishna consciousness. And you can think of the sound of the Maha Mantra as another river. When one river with the waves comes in this way, and is met by another river who comes the other way, the first river gets pacified, the waves get calmed down. This is ordinary neuroscience, a little poetically expressed. So in Krishna consciousness, it means, yes, so much thought, so much mental activities centered around the ego, fears or needs and so on. Now let the mantra come like another river and bring that mental traffic, that noisy, that unsatisfied thing down, and not down, and bring it towards Krishna. So you need to just sing with a little concentration. You need to close a few doors and then you will have an extraordinary experience. So please sing with me now. Most of you are still in the mind. That's, let the mantra work. Yes, focus. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Together. Yasyananam makara kundala cha rukana. Yasyananam makara kundala cha rukana. Brajat kapola subhagam savila sahasam.
Brajat kapola subhagam savila sahasam.
Nidyatsavang nata tripur. Drishibir pibantyo.
Nidyo savam nata tripur drishibir pibantyo.
Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha.
Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha.
Yasyananam makara kundala charukana.
Yasyananam makara kundala charukana.
Brajat kapula subhagam savilasasam.
Brajat kapula subhagam savilasasam.
Yat savam nata tripudrishibir pibantyo. Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha.
Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha.
Yes. Can someone else please chant?
Yasyana makara kundala charu. Yasyana namakara kundala charu karna.
Yasyana makara kundala charu karna.
Brajat kapola subham. Subhagam savilasahasam.
Brajat kapola subhagam savilasahasyam.
Nityot savam nata tripur drishibipibantyo.
Nityot savam nata tripur drishibipibantyo.
Nayo narascha mudita kupitani meshcha
nayo narashcha mudita kupitani meshcha.
Thank you. Can we please also have a Vaishnavi chant? Yasyana nam makara kundala charu karna. Rajat kapola subhagam savila sahasam. Nidyotsavam nata tripudrishi bipi bandyo. Nayo narasya mudita kupita nimeshcha. Whose? Ananam. Face. It's all about Krishna. It's very pleasing to the ear to hear. Makara kundala charukana. Decorated by earrings resembling sharks and by beautiful ears. By earrings resembling sharks and by beautiful noses. No, ears. Yeah. Brajat.
Brajat.
Brilliantly decorated. Kapola. Forehead. Subhagam. Declaring all opulences. Savila sahasam. With smiles of enjoyment. Nityutsavam. Whenever one sees him, one feels festive. Natatripu. They could not be satisfied. Drishibi. By seeing the form of the Lord. Pibandhya, as if drinking through the eyes. Narayaha, all the women of Vrindavan. Naraha, all the male devotees. Cha, also. Mudita, fully satisfied. Kapita, angry. Nime, the moment they are disturbed by the blinking of the eyes. The moment they are, yes. Yes, yes, yes. That moment when they are disturbed by the blinking of the eyes, they become angry. Who is like this? Also. So here's the translation. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful. His cheeks brilliant, they shine. And his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. In some the gopis say, Brahma, you have no idea how to create. You should not have created these eyelids and lashes for human beings. It was absolutely not necessary. You have created fishes with eyes that don't blink. Why have you created human beings with eyes that blink, especially when we see Krishna? This momentary, when the curtain falls, the curtain of our eyes, we can really see that you have no idea of what you are doing. Wow. Purport, as stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati sitaye yatatam api siddhanam kanschin mang veti tatvata. Now you have to understand a little bit of Prabhupada's mind. So he will now give a purport to a verse that speaks about Krishna's beauty. The verse says it's nitya utsavam. Whenever one sees him, one feels festive. It's a festival, really, for the eyes. Festival means there are colors, there are sounds, there is a very absorbing situation. And he is now giving his explanation. What will he say on this verse? How will he start his purport? Why does he start the purport the way he starts? All these questions will help you to understand his spirit. So here we go. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. Now, of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So then he goes on. Unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on earth. Among the Bhojas, Vrishnis, Andakas, Pandavas, and many other kings intimately related with Krishna, the intimate relationship between Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan is especially to be noted. So, to understand Krishna, you need to be qualified, and now we will hear what qualification is required by going to the Brijbasis, Krishna's closest associates on earth, no? That relationship, the Brijbasis to Krishna, is described in this verse by the words Nityotsavangnatatripudrisipipipantya. The inhabitants of Vrindavan especially, not the Germans, not the Americans, not the Bhojas, not the Yarus, but the inhabitants of Vrindavan especially, such as the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, the gopis, and Krishna's father and mother, were never fully satisfied, although they saw Krishna's beautiful features constantly. Seeing Krishna is described here as Nitya Utsava, Nityotsava, a daily festival. The inhabitants of Krishna saw Krishna almost every moment. But when Krishna left the village for the pasturing grounds where he tended the cows and calves, the gopis were very much afflicted because they saw Krishna walking on the sand and thought that Krishna's lotus feet, which they dared not place on their breasts because they thought their breasts not soft enough, they thought Krishna's lotus feet were being pierced by the broken chips of stone. And that's why they were anxious, no? By even thinking of this, the gopis were affected and they cried at home. These gopis who were therefore the exalted friends of Krishna saw Krishna constantly, but because their eyelids disturbed their vision of Krishna, the gopis condemned the creator, Lord Brahma. Therefore, the beauty of Krishna, especially the beauty of his face, is described here. This is the most beautiful feature, no, of Krishna. And of the face, what do you think is more beautiful? The upper half, where there are the eyes and the forehead and the nose, or the lower half? Why do you say the lower half is more beautiful? Yes, there is this one feature which you find in Krishna and not in the other avatars, not even in Balaram. He always smiles. He is the Ananda Murti. Even when he faced the opposition of the wrestlers in Kamsa's wrestling arena, no? Balaram's eyes were red, like glowing coals, with anger. He thought, this is too much, they attack Krishna. But Krishna was smiling. His smile was not changed, it did not shift into another expression. So devotees like this smile. Prabhupada says, if the Lord once smiles at you, your life is perfect. And he says, it's not so difficult to make Krishna smile. You just offer him a flower. Yes, a beautiful flower. So, yes, so that lower half is good, is best. Yes. Now we are proceeding to the 10th canto, which is considered to be Krishna's what? Head, yes. The entire Srimad Bhagavat Purana is the embodiment of Krishna's form, and the 10th canto is his face. This verse gives a hint of how beautiful his face is. Now Prabhupada will talk about the lower half. Krishna's smiling face with his cheeks, his lips, the ornament of his ears, they are still in the lower half. And then his chewing of betel nuts. All this was minutely observed by the gopis, who thus enjoyed transcendental bliss, so much so that they were never fully satisfied to see Krishna's face, but instead condemned the creator of the body for making eyelids that obstructed their vision. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys. They did not offend Brahmaji by saying, you have no idea of creating. Only the gopis said this. So the beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys, or even by Yashoda Mata, who was also interested in decorating the face of Krishna. No? Here you find Prabhupada talking a little bit about what is in his heart. Vishwanath Chakravarti Tagore also writes a purport about this. Would you like to go even deeper into this?
Yes, please.
Now, this, my dear devotees, you will see very nice things. Among the devotees, the inhabitants of Braj, and among the inhabitants of Braj, the gopis and Krishna's dearest friends, Priyanama Sakas, such as Subal Shaka, were the best among all others at drinking Krishna's sweetness. They were the most fortunate of all. Of all his limbs, you know, this is so, we speak about qualification. Kaliya also saw Krishna. When Krishna dove jumped into the Yamuna and swam in the Yamuna around Kaliya, Kaliya could see him closely, face to face. Even then, Kaliya, you remember, he did not appreciate Krishna because his heart was not qualified. He thought this Krishna is too much. He has dared to jump into the Yamuna where I, this is my place here, my turf, my territory. but he became so angry. He had no qualification to relish the sweetness. He jumped at Krishna and tried to bite him into his beautiful chest. Yes. So not everyone can enjoy this. So I will put a few trigger points in some of my audience. You will not like what you hear because you're not exactly Kaliya. Don't worry, no, we have no Kaliya here, but some become agitated. But then you will see I will make a bow and catch you also into a practice, no, which will give you great happiness in your life. So these devotees were most fortunate of all. Who are they again? The gopis and the Brajbasis in general and the gopis in specific. Now, of all his limbs are described in the scriptures as sarvanga ramyaya. Every part of his body is pleasing for everyone to see. So of all his limbs, which are all pleasing, the great sweetness of his smile resides on his lips like an emperor. You know, an emperor rules over the smaller kings, so the smile rules over Krishna's beautiful ears and cheeks and and nose and everything. So this portion is described. Here. His face is divided into two parts, the upper and the lower. The lower gives more sweetness. So this portion now is described in this last chapter. His ears were lit by his makara earrings, and his cheeks were lit and made attractive to the viewer by those earrings. Imagine Krishna's cheeks are here, and then there is a dancing light which comes from the earrings. And on that face was a smile, a Krishna smiled, indicating his joy, longing, and fickleness. Just as his ears are more beautiful than his earrings, making the earrings more beautiful, so his cheeks were more beautiful than those earrings. Now, when he chewed betel nuts, although both the earrings and the smile were already charming, His smile was more splendid than his earrings because of the smile's purity, because of its softness, and because of the distension his cheek caused by the betel nut in his mouth. You know, his cheek was a little puffed up, you know, because he was chewing betel nuts. So if you want to read the entire verse, entire purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it is very, very nice. Now, as we said, we as conditioned souls do not always like such sweetness. We like pungent taste or other tastes. Sweet feels too so sweet. You know, we feel annoyed by this. Because our taste is different. In the Rupa Goswami describes this. When you are ill, then the taste of sweet sugar cane tastes bitter for you. No? You all have heard this verse? It comes in Upadeshamrita. This sugar cane is not refined sugar like that which gives you cancer if you eat it too much, like the Hare Krishnas, you know. The sugar cane is very organic. It is very healthy. It is very good for your digestion even, and so on. And it smells, it has an earthy, sweetie taste, very beautiful. But again, when you have jaundice, it tastes very bad for you. Very bad, very bad. I had jaundice. And when the devotees, they had faith in this Ayurvedic remedy, they gave me every day a bag like this of sugar, which I had to chew. And it was really very bitter, I remember. It was terrible, the taste for me. Only when I became healthy again, I began to appreciate it. And for a year, although I was healthy, I was regularly eating sugar cane juice and sugar cane, this molasses and all these products from the sugar cane. So when our taste is not good, we like not good things. Like, you know, when you see, I always, you know, when I like to walk, when I have a free time, which is rare, but then I walk. And sometimes I pass people who smoke a cigarette. And, you know, my nose is full of the spring flowers and so on. And then all of a sudden, from far already, I can hear a disturbance. What is it? It's a dragon who has digestive problems and who farts. And then the person with the smoke comes close, and I think, how is it possible? It smells so repulsive. And they inhale this. And it comes all over the cloth. And it smells... Every time I go into the airport, I see these little aquariums where people in Warsaw, we saw them like this, you know, like in an overfilled temple. It was really crowded in this little aquarium like, and they were very serious and smoking. And I was thinking, how is that possible? Maybe I'm missing something. Should I go inside? And but I have already made my test. It's no. But they do like it. And after when they come out of the airplane, where they tried to smoke on the toilet, and then the steward came in to the toilet and brutally chastised them, then they have to run into these minuscule things, and they actually like it. They are dependent on it. And it is described, we are like this. We do not like Krishna Leela. We do not like the sweetness. It is also when you can see in the holy name, we cannot appreciate the holy name. Perhaps if there is a good speaker, he can make it sound like something which we know from this world. And we are perhaps fascinated by the intricacies which you cannot find even in the best book prize winner like Elif Shafik, or who wrote the 40 Rules of Love, a beautiful book on spiritual love. It is informed by the Sufi tradition, and we may like it. It sounds very attractive, but will we surrender to Krishna's will? Will we give up our plans and so on? Then we find a lover. A lover lives for the satisfaction of the beloved. He does not live for his satisfaction any longer. So yes, we are not yet lovers. We are on the way to it. And it's very good to hear for us Krishna Katha, because the thing which we can't taste, the sweetness of the sugar, our medicine is to taste sugar. And then after some time, we begin to taste, no? So I have, many of you came to me and said, Maharaj, I'm not up to this level to hear this and that and so on. And your Radha Katha, I had to leave it yesterday. It was just too much for me. And I say, yes. I had once jaundice. I know what you talk about. and so on. But please keep on taking the medicine. You will see a miracle happen. Taking the medicine for Ajata Ruchi Bhaktas, that is, devotees whose taste has not yet been born. Ajata, Jata, born, Ajata. There is a sadhana which all those who want to make progress have to know and have to practice. Do you remember the word, the Sanskrit word which Krishna uses, what we for practice? Abhyasa. Now Hari Prasad is no longer there, and we cannot ask him how the word breaks down. But abhyasa means you practice something, and as you practice, you become okay. Do you remember Arjuna's problem in the third canto, for which he came to Krishna? Yeah, he noted that his mind is very fickle and he cannot keep it. And do you remember what Krishna told him, how to control the mind? Yes, yes, tell in English, because then I know that you understand. If you tell in Sanskrit, you may practice and detachment. He says this, and Arjuna's problem was not a small one. Arjuna was supposed to do something which was very much out of character for him. He was supposed to lead an army, and on the opposite side were, amongst others, also people he loved, like grandfather Bhishma. He hesitated for many days to really attack grandfather Bhishma with all his strengths, because Bhishma was his dede. Dede is in those countries which are extremely emotional. It is the grandfather. You know, he had given him sweets, he had given him education, he had taken care of him. And Arjuna was supposed to kill him with arrows. He couldn't do that. You know darts? He thinks, try to put a picture of someone you really love and then try to throw a dart on him. Then you know the pain of Arjuna's heart. You can't do it. It was absolutely necessary to make the strategic move. And Bhishma wanted it from him, but Arjuna couldn't do it. So he came to Krishna and said, please, my Lord, my mind is killing me. It gives me so much pain and so much unwillingness to fight. I want to give up my bow, Gandiva. I'm really totally broken and shattered into 1,000 pieces. Can you tell me something which I can do with my mind, which is as powerful as a raging storm who cannot be stopped? And Krishna said two things which you have said. You need to detach yourself from the mind, say, no, I'm not pursuing this line of thought any longer. And you need to, instead of thinking your old things, from which you need to detach, you need to think new things in the mind. This is the practice. Otherwise, you will suffer. According to a Harvard study, I said this once again, on an average, a normal person like you and me are lost in thought 47% of the time. 47% of your time you think some thoughts which are inconsequential, about dress, about if others like you, about your anxieties, your worries, and so on. 50%, that means 47% is here. This is a Harvard study, no? That means half of our life is lost in thoughts. Half of our life is gone with the wind. Hare Krishna. Because the mind is raging like a storm, no? So something needs to be done with this. Because as we have heard in the 11th canto, your state of being is described by the mind, not by the body. You may sit in the assembly of devotees but feel bored and hungry. So you have not so much benefit because your mind is not here. But you may sit in the assembly of non-devotees and think, Krishna, save me. And then you are very happy because you are spending your time with Krishna thoughts. The greatest mistake of our Western civilization is that they feel in external things have anything to do with their well-being. This is the greatest mistake of the Hare Krishna movement also. I need this initiation, I need this name, I need this dress, I need people to think this about me. Your well-being is not described by eternal things, external things, but how your mind is, where your mind is. If I would ask you now, what do you remember? What is in your mind from the whole Eastern retreat? I will ask you soon. You know, the question will come. You will be able to test yourself a little. My dear devotees, your mind describes your reality. I was totally shocked when I was in Mumbai. I was for an Ayurvedic treatment. And I describe about this in the upcoming meditation book, which I'm working on. So I was going to a traffic, a crossing. It was one of the main arterias of Bombay's traffic. Also ich kann es nur in Deutsch sagen, eines der Hauptverkehrsadern, die durch Bombay führten. Mumbai, actually, you say. And our car needed to stop. There were about 100 cars before us. Mumbai is very heavy in traffic. So then I see how a beggar comes. He has no legs. He's on a little wooden plate which has these little iron wheels. And he comes to our car and he smiles. Now, if you study psychology, if a person always smiles, you know their inner life is not aligned. Something is wrong, they need to look at. So I was a little, oh my God, this person smiles. I hope he doesn't stop at our car. But as he came closer for begging, his smile was just so beautiful. And I couldn't make sense of it. The outer situation was frightening. There was so much benzene in the air. There was so much noise. And he was so poor, he didn't even have legs. His hands were crippled. I think there was lepra in it. And he was smiling like the sun. He stopped before our car. He stopped on my side. And his smile was there, and it was a real smile. He didn't need therapy. It was real. Oops. Yes. Do we have anything here? So we had some prasadam. I gave him the prasadam. He smiled. I thought, well, he needs money, really. Okay, he needs also prasadam. So that is done. But this person needs money. So I asked my assistant, do we have anything? And how many rupees? What do we have? Well, we have 1,000 rupees. This is a person who is he's a real thing, you know. Let us give him 1,000 rupees. So the beggar kept on smiling. He was not really changed. He was not different. He didn't smile to get money. I said, I need to get into the secret now. So I said to the person who was knowing the local language, tell the beggar, I want to speak to him. I need to speak to him. If he can be so kind to pull over to the side, we will also try to pull over in this chaos, traffic chaos. I need to speak to him. So there was some motion before us. It means the traffic light had jumped on green and some cars started, and as I told to our driver, so driver, now you must do the Hanuman style of driving, you know, no rules and regulations for you. Honk your card and do the maneuver. Please do it. So the driver was friendly to our cause, and he pulled over, and the beggar was there. And I said to him, why do you smile, please? Tell me. He was not, you know, our minds didn't meet yet. He couldn't advise, what is this question of this Westerner? What is this Westerner? You know, he was not used to speak to Western minds. He couldn't understand what I... So, I said, can you ask him? I'm thinking life is miserable for him. He needs to beg for his livelihood. He has no legs. He has something is with the hand, and so on. How? What does he find to smile? What is it? When I have a little toothache, everything is gone for me. So. It was difficult. We could not find the wavelengths so easily, and I stopped to try the... I said, you are an intelligent person. There was someone next to me who was very intelligent. Try to communicate with the wavelength of the mind, you know. Try to make your minds meet. So somehow the person talked or... And then the beggar at the end, I remember still, he said, you know, he said, I am happy because the Lord is in my heart. I'm living with him. This is a temple, I still remember it. It is 24 hours open and no one is discriminated. I can go 24 hours and see my Lord. Why should I not be happy? You are the saint. I am the fool. I'm supposed to have learned all this. I'm studying. I'm a disciple of an enlightened soul. But I feel the happiness and distress of the body and the mind. I could understand I had met someone who is my Shiksha Guru, who really knows, who has realized things 24 hours, yes. If you know how to go into that inner temple, it's always open for you. And you always meet the Lord. You can never forget this. I thought, he's so good. I can go to the temple and I can ask, please give me Lakshmi, and then I can come back with many rubies. But these persons, you can't pay with money. You know, they are not interested. That's not their reality. I asked him, and where do you live? If just to know. And he pointed at a cardboard box, one cardboard, he had made a building somehow with a cardboard box, and he was sleeping in there. You sleep in there? Can I see, please? And I looked inside. But he had another vision. He saw what hopefully all of you will one day see. The Lord in the heart, or the Lord in Vrindavan Dham, and so on. So to come there, do you think this will happen if you come to a few retreats? Do you think it will happen if you continue your life like you do at the present moment? I'm asking, this is not, please, sometimes we answer too quickly and I can say, well, yeah, I'm eating prasadam, I'm going the gradual progress, Maharaj, I have very good things in my life which will bring me there. Think deeply about the question, where will you be in 10 years? If you go on like this, don't say now. You know, you know when someone asks this, and if it's a Swami and it's a Hare Krishna Swami in a Hare Krishna setting, he is driving a point towards somewhere. He wants us to improve, of course. But I come from a totally different perspective, and therefore need different answers. Where will you go? What will happen? I have been with very sincere sadhakas who practiced since 30 years and who said to me with tears in their eyes, Maharaj, I'm not getting it. What should I do? Yeah, I said, I can talk like an ISKCON Swami to you. I have heard millions of them. Just chant a little better. He says, I have been in many seminars. I don't believe in the narrative. There are two little success stories, Maharaj. That's what we hear. So is there a practice that can bring us from the present level to a more fulfilling level? In the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks a serious means a few verses, and they will make you hopeful. He says, fix your mind on me exclusively, that's in 8, 12:8, fix your mind on me exclusively, maya eva mana adatva, by remembering me always. Now technically the name for this is smaran atmika bhakti. Bhakti, who has as a heart the practice of smaran. For most of us, this is not available because our mind is still anxious with so many material things. So he goes now to the next. If you can't do this, fix your intelligence in me, mayi buddhim niveshaya, by contemplating on me based on scriptural descriptions. Okay, I read the 10th chapter, I get verses like, I'm the taste and water. Do you remember when Prabhupada was asked, can you show me God? And he said, have you drunken water? He's the taste and the water. So this is something where you don't feel any rasa as of yet, but you have said, well, this is in the scriptures, let me think while I drink water of Krishna. This is called bhakti, whose atmika or self is the mind. You do a mental, conceptual, willful endeavor. Many of us have tried to remember scriptural verses, to remember. I know when we talk with others, we talk about so many practical things. So then Krishna goes to something which I feel, if you study this, is your solution. It's in Bhagavad Gita 12:9. If you cannot fix your mind upon me, either out of taste, that was in the 8th verse, or by your mental intelligent endeavor, then you must, by the mind who goes there quickly, no, then you must make an endeavor, you must make a practice by following the regulative principles of bhakti. Now here, regulative principles doesn't mean, how do you say in your language, the four regs. It means those principles which guide the practice of Krishna consciousness. It's called sadhana bhakti, no? So how you do this is you withdraw the mind repeatedly from sense objects and fix it on me. And this now is abhyasa rupa bhakti. Bhakti which has the form of practice. So what does this mean? That it means under the guidance of a guru, one can follow the prescribed practices of bhakti yoga, like chanting the holy names of Krishna. You can offer flowers and foodstuffs to the deities. You take prasadam. You hear scriptures from devotees and so on. That's abhyasa bhakti, abhyasa rupa bhakti. And then, my dear devotees, something happens that is very beautiful. All of a sudden, it starts to flow. I would like to give an experience which many devotees have. Have you heard? We have chanted so many Sanskrit verses. Have some of you heard the melodies in their sleep or in the night or during the day? Yeah? How many of you? Wow! Really? Should I test you? I don't believe so easily. Let me believe you. You are all good. We sometimes have kirtan melas and we sit there more or less each day. It depends on you. Some chant 8 hours. I always recommend everyone minimum 8 hours. In the world, people work 8 hours a day, so do kirtan 8 hours a day. Or if you can't, then 4 hours or 2 hours or 1.5 hours according to your taste, no? And when you do sit for a long time, in the night, what happens is your mind has been now welded and it thinks in that way and you sing. Does this happen sometimes? You wake up and you have a melody in the head. And not just a melody, but Hare Krishna. And even complicated melodies. Hare Krishna. My God, I'm remembering Bengal. Hare. What happened to me? I'm no melody man. I'm a dumb. What is melodies? Dumb. Or what is there's a name for this? Because you have done it so often, you have sung so often, now you have changed the course of your ordinary thought. I would like to quote Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about this abhyasa. He wants us to understand, so he says, in common words, okay, everyone, I'm talking now common words. Up till now, it was high philosophy. Now I talk to common people, common words. This means, stop the movement of mind, which like a river, which cannot be controlled, gravitates to vulgar sense objects such as taste and aesthetic. So yes, so the mind goes, oh, what will we eat today? It's a normal thought. I hope he stops soon. So the breakfast is coming. I really feel the need. You know, so stop right there. And what do we do? And establish the mind's movement in my beautiful form, qualities, pastimes, and rasa. In other words, your mind thinks ordinary thoughts. You say, Tika, stop. Let me now think about Krishna. Oh, I can't think of Krishna. Oh, what is wrong with me? I should be, I'm a Krishna conscious in this Krishna movement. No, but nothing comes to me because, yes, I have still jaundice. What do we do now? Then you go to the books, read there. You listen to tapes and so on. And then Krishna leans over to Arjuna. Oh, Dhananjaya. It means you have conquered so much wealth. You went to the Himalayas near Mount Meru. You found so many gold. You brought it all home so that Yudhishthira could make the Rajasuya sacrifice. Some sacrifice. I don't know which one. What? Yes, that. Oh, Dhananjaya, conqueror of wealth. You have conquered so many enemies. You have taken so much wealth. Now something new for you. Now conquer your mind and you can take the treasure of meditation. That is what Krishna said. You have done so many things, Arjuna. Very good, very good. You have conquered so many enemies, conquered so much wealth. Now a treasure is there for you. Take it. I think Krishna leans to all of us and said, oh, my dear devotees, you have done so many, you've gone so many seminars, you have paid so many tickets to fly to holy spots, you have been in so many chant, so many kirtans, and the amount of prasadam you have eaten, amazing. Why do you all laugh? Because that we have experienced. No, yes, we remember. Now something is there which you have to conquer. You have to get. It is the meditation. I wonder what the Sanskrit says, but our Sanskrit genius is not there. Here in the translation I have is the meditation, maybe smaranam. It must be smaranam. This is waiting for you. This is how you reshape your life. If you want to change your life, change what you think on a daily level. Yeah, every one of you, if you're so strong as you like to think, then control your mind. And Krishna gives a very doable process. Stop and bring your mind now to my beautiful form. We will do this now. We will make a practice out of it. Yeah, I know some of you only like theory and then nothing practical, please not. But only when you practice will you get it. So if you wish, please turn around so that we have something on for you. Something very nice. Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita four almost identical verses. He never repeats himself, but in these two verses, in these four verses, he repeats himself for emphasis. And one of these verses, which he says two times. The other verse here also says two times. Is please say with me. Man mana baba mat bhakto majaj majaji mang namaskuru. And man mana means always think of me. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says what this means. He says, be situated with your mind completely absorbed in me. Shyama Sundar. With moon-like face, with shining locks of hair and beautiful eyebrows, raining nectar in the form of glances of sweet mercy. So this is in the commentary to Bhagavad Gita 1865. And I request you to sit now. Same melody, yeah. You don't need to look at the book, although it's so nice, there's Krishna's beautiful face. Oh, who made that? Wow. No one. My dear devotees, for only three minutes, when we start, I'm just introducing. We have nothing to do, really. Except for directing our mind to the thought of Krishna. There's no hurry, really, because we hear that we will eat prasadam a little faster, perhaps if you need to leave, but let us give ourselves these 3 minutes. I request you to sing the Maha Mantra with me. It will help you to come into a different mode of mind. Please start now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Bring your mind to the syllables. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Close your eyes now. Do a few very relaxed breaths. You breathe out, really breathe out. And you breathe in, let the breath energize you. You all have seen a moon shining in the darkness. We had a beautiful moon here, almost full moon. So Lord Krishna Chandra has a moon-like face. It means it is brilliant. There is some shine. Try to, in your mind's eye, direct your thought to that faith. You have seen just a minute ago on the slide the Lord's face is surrounded by his locks of hair, and they also shine. In your mind's eye, see the beautiful face of the Lord. He has beautiful eyebrows, they are curved. And he looks at you with his eyes, directly his eyes meet yours. And he glances at you with an expression of sweet mercy, meaning I care for you, you mean something to me. Yes, I love you as you are. So try to keep your mind for a little on the face of the Shyama Sundar, with shining locks of hair, beautiful eyebrows, and whose nectarian glances are full of sweet mercy. Then let us sing to that Lord. Hold the image as long as you can and sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and his body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for listening and for being willing to do this. As we have heard from the 12th chapter, this is something that may not, let us say, which is inviting us to practice it. It's really we begin to create a new mind. From the small mind we go to the big happy Krishna conscious mind, and that takes a little time, you know. It's like a creating a new riverbed for river to flow in a new direction, really. But really, there is so much nectar, like Krishna says. You have now, Arjuna, Dhananjaya, you have gotten so much wealth and gold. Now, I have something else. Now conquer the mind and you can take for you the treasure of meditation. No? I will end here, my dear devotees, because we are a little late. There will be, of course, prasadam now. I'm thinking if Gaurahari is here, he might give us an orientation. But I think for those who are still here, we can just conclude the event by perhaps taking a few questions, not a long session. Concluding session, I will say something. Oh my God, we went half an hour over time. I'm really sorry for those who I was really not mindful, but I thought we should have an experience of what this could mean for us. And then we can go and get treasures in our private time, you know. So now it's 20 minutes to 10. When should we have the session? I think we should.
It is scheduled for 11.
Yeah.
I mean, you can also take it at 11:30.
Yeah. Maybe quarter past 11, no? Mm-hmm. Then we have quarter past 11 for those who come. But I will not take any questions at this moment because of this little thing here. Hare Krishna.